Tell me about the drive-in shows. What's going on with Alan Jackson? You're doing real drive-ins?
Well, first of all, can you hear me? Because I am talking through my face mask. The CDC requires that I...
Very nice. Very nice. The fiddler does... Sure. Hold on. The fiddler does comedy. Give him something right there. Beautiful.
but yeah, I'm really excited. Hey, we're going back to work.
It's paycheck. It's a paycheck. Seriously. Right. I mean, if you're Alan Jackson with 21 number one songs, maybe the driving's not such a good deal. But if you're the guy in the bus, hey, it's a paycheck. We don't care.
That's right. So we all have to get tested before it's like 2 days before we leave. And then we have to quarantine after we test negative for it.
Really?
But the only way to be on the premises of the actual concert is either to be us and to have been tested or to be in a vehicle.
And you have to stay in the car.
Exactly. It's like an old drive-in, and it's going to be a learning experience for all of us. But I imagine it's going to be a lot of fun. And Alan is such a car guy anyway that I have a feeling he's going to be excited to see some maybe some classic cars in the drive-in. He'll be checking them out as we're singing along. So.
Any idea how many cars?
I don't. Right.
Get back to us on that, will you?
Yeah, I will. we have played this field before in Tulsa.
There you go. That's country music right there. We played this field before. I remember right before they cut it.
Ryan, is it actually a drive-in movie or it's just like a big feel that they're making a drive-in?
From what I understand, it's that they're making the drive-in because the last time we played the field, we don't do theaters and country music. We just do theaters. Yeah. But anyway, the last time we played there, it was just a huge, basically mosh pit of people. They have a festival called Rock the South there normally, and it's normally this coming weekend, and it had to be canceled. So I think that was part of how this all came to fruition as well. But we're going to do one there and then do in Cullman, and then the next day go to Mobile.
Cullman, they got the best pastrami they ever ate in my life.
Really?
No, that's Ian Finkel. Just give Ian a city. He'll give you a menu. Oh, yeah. What about Selma, Alabama? Oh, ribs. I had ribs again. All right, so I just played one of your tunes coming out of the break. It's called Celtic Progress, and there are country music fans obviously listening to the program, and that is a song that you wrote with Charlie, correct?
Sure. My good friend Charlie Kelly and I kind of were just messing with some melodies genres to me, we all like to put tags on things and title things and, this is this and this is that and categorize it, but to me and to Charlie too, I guess I shouldn't speak for him, but I really just think music is music, and so that was kind of an homage to like progressive rock. We're calling it progressive Celtic music that includes bluegrass, country, hey, maybe even a little polka in there.
But let's get to the Yinzer part real quick, because we do have people tuning in from Duquesne. From West Mifflin, from McKeesport. Is Greensburg on? We don't have Greensburg. Did you do something wrong in Greensburg? They're not listening to the program?
I was born in Greensburg.
Born in Greensburg. Son of a gun. My brother-in-law lives there. You think he'd be listening? He's out laying in the sun. So you're 4 years old when you, for those people that don't know, Ryan was, am I right, 4 years old when you first started playing the fiddle?
Yeah, I was actually, they bought me my first when I was 2 and a half. Started lessons when I was 2 and a half.
Did you it's something you really wanted to do. It wasn't like dad wants you to play the fiddle, you're going to play the fiddle, and you have to take piano lessons, that kind of thing. You actually, that sounds terrible when I say that, you actually enjoyed playing it.
Can you believe it? And I still do. I remember watching my grandfather and just being in awe of him. He actually passed away when I was 4, but I still have vivid memories sitting on his lap and holding his hand as he would play his fiddle, and I just never remember a time that I didn't want to do this. There was a seed inside of me that was planted early, and It just kept growing, and I can't squash it now. So why not try to make a living doing
well,
it?
Well, you know? It's working out. But now that I will say, I will make this question, by the way, a perfect lead into the next break when we play On Pappy's Knee, by the way. You can't have somebody on the program and not play the music. So now you learn to play the fiddle. Your band, your family, your mom, who's a wonderful singer, your dad, who you sadly lost, they're in a band, a very famous band in the Pittsburgh area, Henny and the Versajays. I'm serious, John. These guys were like the Beatles of Poland.
Thank you, I think.
Well, didn't you go to Poland? Did you go to Poland to play?
Yeah, they didn't want to bring us back to America. They almost didn't let us back in.
Yeah. And I actually heard most of the band play at Ryan's wedding, and it was great. They were tremendous. But anyway, so now you learn to play the fiddle. Did you volunteer for the band, or was this a violation?
There was an extensive audition process. They auditioned every family member that was born in the year that I was born in. Somehow I got the gig. I don't know.
All right. I wasn't sure if it was like a violation of the child labor laws. You know, hey, the kid's 8. He's old enough. Yeah, you can stay up till 2 a.m. playing polkas. There's nothing wrong with that, really. It's a different world. So
it's so funny. And people actually, we laugh about it, but people used to ask my parents, you know, just because I would play in the bars as a young kid and everything. But the thing was, in all honesty, you know, I was always with my family and I always saw them and how they lived. And, you know, I probably because of that is why I enjoyed the playing part, but I never got involved in the wild side of life. So it was really a great thing. And I grew to think of my family and my parents as friends. And I knew I could always count on them as friends in addition to parents. But yeah, I was playing the bars at a very young age.
Huh? Yeah, I was at the bars at the young age. So I have to ask you to tell this story. You're 11 years old, and one of your stalkers, right? Somebody that followed the band submitted you to a Regis and Kathy Lee contest, right? They were looking for young, talented people to be on the show. Am I telling it right?
Exactly. They used to have a week long special each year called Just Kidding Week. And I did not know that this dear friend of ours, whose name was Art Olszewski, actually just got to see him this Christmas. It's been a few years, but just dear, dear friend. And he submitted a video, just of some little segments of me playing and everything. And surprisingly, we get a call without knowing that he submitted this video from New York City. And they asked us on a Friday if we could be in New York by Monday morning. And just like a good family member and band member, the first thing that my mother did was call her brother because we had a polka gig on Sunday night, and she was afraid that we were going to have to miss the gig to be on Regis and Kathy Lee. But we actually played the first two sets of the gig, and then the third set they had this little party for us and set us on our way. One of my favorite parts of the story is we get into New York City around probably 3 o'clock in the morning. It was raining, pitch dark. Get up a few hours later, and Regis and Kathy Lee were sending a limo to our hotel to pick us up. Get down, and it was getting close to showtime, and the limo hadn't picked us up yet. So we call, and the producer says, "Well, we set the limo, and you're here." And we said, "No, we're not." So we were obviously so important that when the limo got to the hotel, they just put up Regis and Kathy Lee, and two people that were going to just be guests in the audience took the limo and were sitting in the green room with Sting and James Taylor, and nobody knew that it wasn't us.
How old were you then?
11.
11 years, 11.
Wow.
11. We had to get into the show. It was probably 20 minutes before they were going live and setting up everything. It was just a crazy thing. But
how many instruments did you bring to that?
6. And the funny thing with that was most of them weren't mine. Since we were flying, they had all these instruments positioned on the piano, which I played as well. And I never got to touch the instruments until we were live on air. So I didn't know if they were in tune, you know, just it was.
Now, so you played the piano, you played the saxophone, you played the fiddle, mandolin?
No, not mandolin at the time. Clarinet, sax, and I think they had a bass guitar there as well.
And you're 11.
Honestly, I remember not even knowing what I was going to play on each instrument. I was so naive and green. I mean, if I went back there and did that again, I'd be a nervous wreck.
Ryan, I saw videos of you doing your solo in those big concerts. Oh, my God. How many people are at those concerts?
I mean, probably the biggest crowd that I played for was in Dallas, Texas at the new Cowboy Stadium. They had an award show there, and there were over 100,000 people there.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it was amazing. And I grew up just, you know, I've always dreamed of playing to crowds like that. But, you know, when you're in a crowd like that, you're not seeing faces. It's just it's a larger than life experience. And I love being able to communicate with people and connect, you know. So I do obviously love playing for those big crowds, but there is something special, too, about playing and seeing the people and interacting and, you know, being in a small theater as well. So, yeah.
I worked in big theaters when I was with Crosby, Stills, and Nash. And it is, do you experience the same thing? It's all of a sudden, like in my case, I would tell a joke and then you would actually hear the laugh go out. And if it was a good laugh, it would come back. But it's the same thing with applause, right? You hear, it's like, it's not just like when you're in a small venue, everyone claps at once, but in those big arenas, it sort of like goes out and comes back, right?
Exactly. And now with musicians, you know, we wear those monitors. So oftentimes that really isolates you and makes you not feel that connection. Right. So a lot of artists, and Alan's one of them, we have like live mics that are actually picking up the crowd so we can hear that in our ears as well to try to, you know, just get closer to the people as much as we can. But yeah, you're exactly right. It's just it's just a different feeling, but all great experiences for sure.
I do want to ask you about Don't Rock the Jukebox. I'm perfect at setting up stories, aren't I? I should do this more often. The song, I played it earlier, Don't Rock the Jukebox, big Alan Jackson hit. There's a story, though, how that came about. Am I correct?
You're exactly right. And I'm glad there's a break because I need to get on the Snoop Fab Factory's website here.
Thank you very much.
There you go. I'm honest when I tell you that in Central Time, it's 10 o'clock, or excuse me, it's 9 o'clock, but I put on the Tom Drake Show you correct me. What is the name now?
The Big Broadcast.
The Big Broadcast. Yes. I put the Big Broadcast on every single day, so I'm
we
starting to get
it.
To know the theme music and the advertisers and I just love this.
Well,
show.
Anyway, don't rock the jukebox. What happened?
Oh, you want me to tell? I thought we were taking a break first.
Nah, the hell with it.
So this was years ago after a show with Alan. They were playing. They were playing a truck stop lounge
nice.
In Doctover, Virginia.
Now so, drive-ins,
fields, and truck stop lounges. but after the gig, there was a jukebox in the corner of this bar, and one of the legs was broken off of it. And Roger was standing next to this jukebox, kind of checking out what he was going to pick on it. And Alan walked behind him, and he said to him, "Don't rock the," Roger said, "Don't rock the jukebox." And because of that inspiration, Alan wrote the song, Don't Rock the Jukebox. And again, it first came out of Roger's lips. Well, because of that, Alan bought Roger a boat.
Nice.
As a thank you to the inspiration, because a lot of royalty monies came out of that song. So Roger has a boat that was because of that. And since then, I've been following around Alan and, you know, saying, don't slam the door. Or, you know, you never know what might get you a new car or something. And I have to give homage to Tom Drake because he gave me that joke. Well, I'm not going to act like it's that extensive, but I do have my fiddle next to me. I'll just say that. So if you mentioned that in your email and I didn't want to disappoint, but we can just play something on the radio. I don't know exactly how it would sound live, but Yeah, I sure could.
All right.
Yeah, this is probably one of the most popular, I would say, modern melodies on the violin. I mean, they weddings requested oftentimes. Notes here.
Here, fine. Yeah.
Is that all good?
That
sounds great.
That's not it though, right? No.
That's me tuning.
You can play that on Holland America. A lot of them were in the Civil War.
Hold on. Thank you.
Tuning is a very important process of playing the fiddle, and there's one person that I work for that often asks me to tune before I play, and she says it sounds very expensive. So I'm going to give you the expensive tuning experience, just like a symphony orchestra. And
that's it, right there.
This is called A Ashokan Farewell.
Beautiful. You get married in October, but in December you head your honeymoon to Rome, and you actually met with the Pope.
Can you believe that?
Now, did the Pope speak English or Italian, German, Spanish? Did he speak at all?
He actually spoke English to us, and he changed with each couple that he met with. I mean, I heard him speaking many different languages, obviously very, very basic. But we asked him to please pray for us, pray for our families. And he said, pray for me. He said, please remember, pray for me. And it was an experience that I'll never forget. I don't usually get nervous. And Danica kind of chuckles at me because she saw me probably at my most nervous as he was coming and approaching us. I was rendered speechless. It doesn't usually happen, but I was completely tongue-tied and just awestruck. Well,
it's an awesome experience.
Yeah, it was.
I went to confession at the Vatican.
How long did that take?
I was in there for about 45
minutes. This is kind of a funny story. I was in the Vatican, and they announced the confessions were open, and my wife at the time said, hey, you should go. You're Catholic. And I was like, what? So they had different confessionals, as you know, with different languages on them. And I went into this one, and there was no partition or anything. It was just me looking at this pretty scary priest. And
there was no partitions?
No.
I couldn't do that.
And he looks at me, and he goes, like, I swear this is true, all right? And Tom will tell you, I go to church, and I've been to confession. And he looks at me, and he says, this is a little bit different. I'm going to ask you some questions.
Oh my God.
You ever cheated on your taxes? Next thing I know, I'm in the middle of an interrogation.
Is that right?
Yeah. And then the last one he says is, have you ever murdered anybody?
Oh my God.
And I'm thinking, well, I guess this is Italy.
Yeah. I was going to the same place. That's only in Italy they answer those questions. Are you
kidding? I swear that's a true story.
That's amazing.
And it was just like, it was so intimidating.
Well,
I got another great story about Rome. A couple years before our honeymoon, I was there on my own. I was playing a gig in Milan.
You're playing a gig in Rome?
I played a gig in Milan.
A Milan?
Italy, and I'd always wanted to go to Rome, and I had not been there yet. So I arranged to go to Rome like 5 days early on my own. And you know how they have the different basilicas and everything? Well, there was the St. John Lateran, which is like the official place or the official seat of the Pope. I went to Mass there, and no kidding, I went in and I thought that the Pope was having Mass. He looked just, I mean, he had the same
double
hat on, yeah, the same glove. Go, give me a break.
They have body the doubles. Pope, right? Yeah.
So I literally FaceTimed my mother and was crying because I was at the Pope's Mass.
That's, yeah.
And went up to get communion from the Pope. And I'm like doing all these moves because I'm thinking I got to go to the guy that's the Pope, you know? And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have communion from the Pope. I get up to the guy. It was not the Pope.
Well,
one of the most disappointing moments of my life.
You see, that's the difference between you and I. I would have came back and told everybody I saw the Pope. It's none of their business.
This was really funny. Go to Milan, Italy. And it was with this girl, Laura Bell Bundy, who was the original lead of Legally Blonde on Broadway, which I'm sure John knows her but through his daughter and everything, too, with all of your work in New York. But did a one-off with Laura in Milan and get there. And I think the place was called Countryland. So the only thing that you could eat in Milan at the gig that I was doing was burgers and fries and American food. They were trying to be Texas, basically.
In Milan. In Milan.
Unbelievable.
That's actually a felony, I think.
Exactly. At least I got to go to Rome a few days early, because all I got in Milan was a
that's hard to believe.
Ham sandwich. So
and when you went on your honeymoon, you arrived in Rome, and we're going to take a break just so I can play Pappy's Knee before you get out of here. You went to Rome without your luggage, am I correct?
That was, well, I went with my luggage, but somehow I lost it in the process of getting there.
So you, what did you wear on your honeymoon to see the Pope?
I wore a tuxedo. The only thing in my suitcase was a tuxedo, and I wore that to meet the Pope. I wore that to go to sleep. I wore that for every activity in Rome for 5 days. So
and
there you go.
And Danica wasn't the bridal gown, but she was also in a very, very fancy outfit, right? Because when I saw the pictures...
She had her bridal gown. That's exactly what it was.
When I saw the pictures, I thought they actually wore their bridal stuff to see the Pope, not knowing that your luggage hadn't arrived yet. So you probably would have worn it anyway.
Well, yeah, that was actually a requirement to meet him. That's if you were married within 2 months of the meeting and you brought your wedding attire, you can meet the Pope at these certain audiences that he has.
Thank God you didn't lose that stuff. That would have been
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. But the funny thing was they also required a lot of documentation, and we did everything officially that they asked for. And literally when we got there, they looked at nothing except for the fact that we had our tuxedo on. So if you ever want to meet the Pope, just take a wedding dress or a tuxedo and show up.
You're good to go.
And yeah, Pope Frank will be happy to meet you.
And it is Italy, so that's probably part of the reason.
Tom told me that you stole his hat.
He gave us his hat. We bought him a new one, and he gave us his hat. Yeah. So that is,
but
that will be proudly displayed in a house of ours if we ever get one.
Well, I said yesterday you're actually using it as a mask, so it's
<That's right.
laughs> tied a couple things. Why not? I mean, what are the chances you're going to get COVID-19 with the Pope's hat covering your nose?
Well, it's funny when you said they were using it for the mask. I thought you were kidding.
Yeah, I was kidding.
No,
I don't.
But I mean, that he had the mask, the hat. I thought you were kidding.
No, he really has it.
No, that was true. Apparently, he's known for that. Like, and we showed up. We better not take a break because we're going to talk forever. But
well, I got to get your song in. So
okay, but
we'll take it out with that.
Apparently, we knew, or Danica had found out that if you present him with a hat, sometimes he will switch hats with you and give you a souvenir that he wore. So the first place that we went to in Rome was a place called Gamarelli, which is the official garment maker of the Pope.
Of course it
and
is.
And we go in and ask for a hat. I'm thinking to myself, goodness, how much is this going to be? You know, we didn't, we were just asking for the hat. I think it cost us around $75 or something.
It's not bad, really.
Which was less than I had thought. But then I asked the guy that was there. I said, you know, is this a common occurrence that people come in here on and, you know, ask for one of these? And he went, on Tuesdays. Yes. because the audience is always on Wednesday. So the day that we were there, there were, I believe, four people. I think it was four people total out of thousands. So it wasn't very many. And it was four people that could actually get to the Pope. Most people that are at the audience are only, miles away from him. But he switched with four people. So we have a hat that was worn by the Pope at the audience.
And it only caused...
have like four of them on at the same time. And go, here, take my hat.
He gave one of them to the Pope that retired, too. So, you know, so when you have two popes, then you can have two hats on.
That's funny. He was a quick change artist before he became the Holy Father. Yeah.
Where is Danica?
Take a jack.
Can you believe Danica is out working, writing songs this morning?
So very nice. Well,
she is not with me, but she sends her love, and she hopes to be a guest on the big broadcast.
Absolutely. We want to talk about her unbelievable ability. In fact, I have had a song queued up. I had John's favorite, Greatest Show on Earth. He loves that song. And can the thing with Lance be talked about, or is that a secret?
I'm not sure. I better plead the fifth on that.
Yeah, all right.
Wait for approval.
We'll leave it alone. But anyway, John loves the song. We're talking about Danica Ports, who's married to Ryan, and I play a lot of Danica's music. You can find her. She has her own YouTube channel that's filled with amazing videos and great songs. Where can they find your music? It's Spotify and other places.
The platforms, iTunes, Spotify, all anything right. Like that. You can go to RyanJosephMusic.com. You can go to DanicaPorts.com, and we are out there, and we always love connecting with people. And let me say one more time that I love both. Well, you know, I love you with all my heart, Tom and Dottie and John. It just love him too. What a crew.
To everybody listening, this young man, we can say young man because of our ages, is every bit as sincere as he sounds. He's a wonderful person, as is his mom, who's spectacular, just an incredible, nice lady. When are you going back out with Jimmy?
We're not sure. The next gig right now that hasn't been canceled is in Montana in July.
That's wide open.
They're saying that very well may happen because it's an outdoor venue. So we're hoping to go to Montana in July. But I just want you to know how much I think of you.
And I appreciate it.
I think this radio show should be just right up there with all the legends in the radio broadcast world. I'm entertained by you every single day, and I will.
You're very nice to say that. And let me also, I forgot to mention this earlier, that this show will be rebroadcast at 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 today. So if you're just tuning in the middle of this or near the end of this, we are on speaking via Zoom with Ryan Joseph, who's a multi-instrumentalist and a singer and a songwriter and a professor of music. And his spare time, he's also a husband. And and how many hours do you devote to the church? You and Danica take care of all the music at the church. Am I correct?
Yes. And actually, last week we did. We because our church is starting to be to start masses again. So we did three of them last week.
Okay.
Starting back up.
Is Barack Obama still your pastor? I was in Nashville for Ryan's wedding, and there was a mass before the actual wedding, the day before, whatever. I went to church, and I said afterwards, he looks strikingly from a distance like our former president. And I said, you know, this Nashville is just loaded with celebrities. And he goes, what? I go, well, Barack Obama's the pastor here. You know, it's pretty cool. What about Broadway? Broadway's still shuttered in Nashville, correct?
It is. There's talks that it's going to start opening up with them only allowing a few musicians on stage at one time. So they're definitely trying, but it's really eerie how silent it is when you drive down those streets.
Because if you've never been to Nashville, and I was only there for the first time in October. Actually, no, I was there in July and October. Nashville is just filled with music venues with tremendous musicians and artists who basically work for the tip jar and a few bucks. But even that, that's, you know, extra money that, and plus nobody's playing. Nobody's playing. It does, you know, it's great to do the thing you did with Jimmy, where you do the thing on Facebook from time to time, and you've done it with Danica. But there's nothing like being out in front of, you know, live people in Nashville, stumbling into the bar and screaming, "Yeah, bachelorette party!" That's the late. That's the new spot now for bachelorette parties. And they get on those. What do they call those things where you have to bicycle yourself around? There's a name.
Yeah, they call them pedal taverns. Yeah. They drink and pedal, and I don't know. I think I'd rather be here with the Zambuca and Tom Drake. And,
there you go.
John Ferentino. So.
I just got booked in Nashville right before all this stuff started at the House of Cards. I'm sure that's not going to happen.
But I was going to ask you that, John. If you are still coming, we are. We've already told all our friends and family, so we're planning on having a great week.
It's supposed to be in September, so I don't know.
You should be fine. Yeah. By then, the mask will be off. Everything's good. It's going to be – we'll have a vaccine. I don't know what. One thing I know is I don't know. So I hope it all works out. I mean, ships are starting to look at August, so it's possible, you know, that one of these days we'll get the call and I might be doing this show from the middle of the Caribbean. You never know.
Yeah, there won't be any problems then.
No, because it'll probably be pre-recorded, so there wouldn't be any problems.
I'll have all that crap in your house and my house. Go, Tom, can you hear me?
It'll be better by the weekend. It's going to be better by the weekend. So what are you doing when you're just sheltering in place? You're not gigging? You're done teaching?
I'm still doing some teaching via Zoom.
Okay.
And I'm working on my doctorate. So
nice. That keeps you busy.
I'm enrolled in 6 credits this summer.
What are those? What are you studying?
It's just very, very extensive music education.
Okay.
Just history and methodology, and it's getting pretty pedagogical.
101.
What's that?
Ukulele 101.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. When the numbers start to get to be 850 and 860, you know that it's probably over my head a little bit, but I'm certainly going to try.
But at Belmont, you teach violin, not fiddle, right? You teach commercial and classical violin, am I correct?
Teach both. I mean, we call the commercial instrument the fiddle typically, but... violin, fiddle, I'll do whatever that pays the most.
Well, is there an ordinance in Nashville that you can't ever call it a violin? That legally it has to be called a fiddle if it's got 4 strings and a bow? It could be.
If you're doing it with a glass of wine, you probably should call it a violin where you are. But if you're doing it with a beer in your hand, I think it's just a fiddle.
Well, let's try this. I remember you telling me a story about a fiddle camp where you asked the kids at a fiddle camp the difference between a fiddle and a violin. Am I correct?
I did.
How'd that work out?
This little girl raised her hand and she told me, my pappy said that the difference is when it's a fiddle, you don't mind if a beer gets spilled on it.
There you go. Hold on. That was close.
Was it close?
It was close.
I never quite say it right.